Good afternoon and welcome. You're listening to The Word from the Trenches on Patriot Broadcast from the Trenches 89.5 Micro FM Chiloquin, the state of Jefferson. Simulcast on the Grow Your Own Channel 107.5 FM Greenville, South Carolina. The Jalapeno Channel 87.9 FM Sioux Falls, South Dakota. And numerous other micro broadcasts and webcasts across our great nation. Our website is FromTheTrenchesWorldReport.com. We open the broadcast with Trenches by Pop Evil. It is, well, it's fucking Friday. Another fucking week of unbelievable fucking tyranny. I mean, building. I mean, pushing and pushing from every angle, trying to push this fucking communism down our throats. And, we got the week. They won't slow down on the weekends like they used to. I mean, they used to just save a false flag for a weekend or something. But it's just 24 fucking 7 full court press, and we got to be fucking press them back, people. It's also the 5th day of March, 2021. It's 12:04 Pacific time. The Word from the Trenches is hosted by myself, Henry Shively, and by my brother, John D., United States Marine fighting tyranny. This is a live call-in program, and listeners are encouraged to join in the conversation. If you'd like to call in, the number is 712-770-5597. A nice lady will come on the line and ask you for the conference room you want, and that would be 220029 and then the pound sign. Again, that's 712-770-5597, and then enter 220029 and hit that pound sign. Of course, you're going to have to punch in *6 to unmute if you want to come up on the air and mix it up with JD and myself. Well, it's currently 52 degrees here, 4,200 feet in the High Cascades of Northern Jefferson, and we're looking for a high of 54 degrees today for the Klamath Basin. And it's windy in hell, like a cold wind blowing like a son of a bitch, but it's still, you know, I'm not seeing no weather come with it. We're supposed to have some snow here in a day or two. I'll see it when I believe it, I suppose. That being said, how are things today out there in Moscow, New Jersey, John? Hey, good afternoon, by the way.
Good afternoon, Henry, and all listeners, of course. I'm right now over here in Moscow on the Hudson, central New Jersey, about 95 feet above sea level mean. We currently have 37 degrees, 24% humidity, so, man, that air feels really dry. And, you know, 38 degrees ain't terribly cold, but when the air's that dry, you step out there and it just cuts right through you. It just feels a lot colder than it actually is. And we've got a lot of wind kicking up ourselves here, so I do think, or at least I hope, this is our kind of last cold weekend, because next week, you know, starting on even Monday, it's supposed to be warming up and getting into more spring-like weather, so hopefully this will be the last weekend of cold weather.
Man, that's what we're seeing here, too. It's, you know, it's this snow thing, it won't last long. I doubt we'll get much, and I doubt it'll stay long. Man, if it was just not for the goddamn fires, you know, if there wasn't the 10 zillion invaders from California had to come here who don't know how to use fucking fire. I mean, they've lost their most basic goddamn skills, and then of course I believe that a lot of these fires in California, probably the majority, are being lit because it's become a fucking industry. I mean, don't tell me that we could not fucking put a fleet of fucking 747s together across this country for the price tag we're paying to fucking, what do they call it? Confine these fires so they smoke and smolder all fucking year. I mean, all summer long. So the big paychecks, the big tons of money going out. I mean, it would finance a fleet of fucking those 747s that, I mean, could launch from anywhere, and it'd have to be way cheaper. Because a couple of them on any fire would just, I mean, fucking douse it right now. But we know the game. And I'm not looking forward to the goddamn smoke. I'm just going to say it. At any rate, what you up to today? I mean, you got something that's particularly tickling you today? John?
I don't even know where to start, Henry, because it doesn't stop until we make it stop. I mean, all we're doing now is just giving more and more and more examples of the complete overthrow of this country, which was done in real time, in slow motion, on national and international television, as the international communists performed a coup, seized Washington, D.C., and so far they've still gotten away with it.
I feel the same fucking way, brother. That's why I thought I'd start out with a Polish joke.
Okay, let's hear it.
Polish doctor mocks critics of COVID-19 vaccine while taking jab, dies just days later.
Yeah, I saw that headline. So that's not a joke. And then when I saw headline, my knee-jerk reaction was, good, you stupid bastard.
the way they tried to write it off. Anyway, I thought that's where we could begin this insanity.
No, that's great, because Henry, we're trying to emphasize at least to our listeners and our listeners who are trying to save some of their family members or their friends who are buying into any of this nonsense. Look, you get that injection, you might as well just realize you're committing soft suicide.
Exactly, man. Anyways, we'll just call it a Polish joke. I mean, and it's more fun that way. Okay, we'll be right back.
Thank you for listening to PBFTT.
Patriot Broadcast from the Trenches, 89.5.
Micro FM.
Chiloquin, the state of Jefferson.
Bringing you the word from the trenches, please give a big round of applause for Henry Shively.
And John D. All right, the Polish joke. Polish doctor mocks critics of COVID-19 vaccine while taking jab. Dies just days later. This is from Great Game. Great Game India. It was sent in by Misty for discussion on From the Trenches, worldreport.com. A Polish doctor recently recorded a video of himself getting the experimental COVID-19 vaccine. He mocked the critics who questioned the efficiency, but it's spelled E-F-F-I-C-A-C-Y, efficiency of the vaccine, while getting jabbed. Ironically, the doctor died just days later, although the cause of death was reported to be a heart failure. I'd like to have a dollar for every heart failure that's been reported to be COVID-19, which doesn't exist. Dr. Witold, Rajiwitz, passed away just days after getting the COVID-19 vaccine. Here is what he said while recording himself getting jabbed. Vaccine yourself to protect yourself, quote, your loved ones, your friends, also patients, and to mention quickly, I have info for anti-vaxxers and anti-COVID. Now they were called anti-COVIDers. Yeah, I'm again. If you want to contact Bill Gates, you can do this through me. I wish you were still alive. I would give that a shot, brother. I can also provide for you from my organization, the 5G network. See, this is a punk bitch talking, and the punk bitch got what he's had coming. I'm sorry, I hadn't spoken for a bit, but I was just getting autism. He's trying to being a fucking wise guy. Well, good riddance, wise guy. Got anything to say today? Dr. Rajiwitz, whatever the hell that is, death certificate says he died of a heart attack. Well, I'm sure it does. And I'm sure there's a lot of heart attack victims who says COVID-19. It's all the big lie. Go ahead, John. All right, here we go. Fossey says,
hey, Henry.
Go ahead,
Henry?
Brother. Go ahead.
But just real quick, the word you stumbled over there is efficacy.
Efficacy.
And the beauty of it is efficacy means how well something works. So apparently it worked really well for him. But that's the word, is efficacy.
F-fuck-ca-see. Okay, got it.
efficacy, yeah. All right.
All right. Fossey says military members who opt out of COVID vaccine are inadvertently part of the problem. Nah, I think that you're starting to fucking see what, I mean, if this is what's going on inside the military where, you know, you talk about control over somebody's fucking life, then you just think what it's like, what the truth is out here. I mean, they're going to, I mean, if, you know, 4 or 5 million people are stupid enough to get this shot, if they do every one of them, that's 4 or 5 million fucking pieces they can put on the TV and that's all you're fucking seeing. That's a propaganda fucking machine. They took away the law that disallowed them from using propaganda on the American people, and that's all in the fuck this is. It's all bullshit. I don't know nobody is just willfully going and getting the goddamn shot. Wait, well, yeah, I do. Two people. Anyway, this is from CNBC. It was sent in by Misty for discussion on From the Trenches, worldreport.com. White House Chief Medical Advisor, Dr. Anthony Fauci, that phony son of a bitch, said Thursday that U.S. service members who are eligible to get the COVID-19 vaccine but opt out are inadvertently part of the problem of lengthening the pandemic. No, they're part of the problem of fucking fouling your plan to fucking mass exterminate American people and the people around the fucking planet so that you can take full control with your New World Order. They're getting in your way of your fucking extermination. They're getting away in the way of your Georgia Guidestones. Good for these guys. You're part of the solution. You're part of the solution to the outbreak, explained Fossey to a virtual audience during a town hall with Blue Star Families, a nonprofit dedicated to issues facing military families. Because by getting infected, even though you may not know it, I've just always loved that. I was sicker than hell, I think. You may be inadvertently transmitting the infection to someone else, even though you have no symptoms, Fossey said. In reality, like it or not, you're propagating the outbreak. So instead of being a part of the solution, you are innocently and inadvertently being a part of the problem. And they're not innocently. They're saying, fuck you. I'm not putting that fucking shit in my arm. I know who you people are. Inadvertently being part of the problem by not getting vaccinated. Well, keep it up. Keep it up. Keep it up. Defiance. You've got to think of your own health, which is really very important, but you got to think about your social obligation. I have no social obligations, motherfucker. I am at liberty to do whatever I goddamn well please, so long as I'm not violating another's rights. And if I am violating another's rights, well, there is a process they have to follow to establish that fact and get an order from a court or a writ from a court or get a goddamn warrant from a court before they can contest what I'm doing whatsoever. I have no social obligations. I'm not a social fucking creature. I'm a free individual, sovereign national. Got it, motherfucker? And I'll stay that way till the day I die. Including people close to you personally as well as other members of families of other individuals. Fuck 'em. If they're worried about it, they can stay in their goddamn hole and stay out of the goddamn. You know, that's one of the things that got me when they started with the smoking shit, you know, where you couldn't smoke in a fucking bar or what might have you. You know, all the years before that, you know, I've always been against, you know, I remember the old days when you drive down like into San Francisco or through Denver and it was just so fucking, the air was so polluted. It was orange. And, I mean, it was just nasty, nasty. And, you know, you bitch about it, and people, well, you know, that's the price you pay for living in a society. Well, people, this is the price you pay for living in a fucking society, because we're not going to give up our goddamn freedoms and liberties for a fucking lie so that the fucking communists can more easily take over. It's not happening. They're fucking failing. They know they're fucking failing. They ain't got shit done in vaccinating people because nobody wants that crap in their fucking arms. Only retards. If you went and took that shot, I'll call you a retard right to your fucking face because that's what you are. You did no fucking research. You don't know what it is. You don't even know. I got vaccinated. No, you didn't. That's not, to get vaccinated, you have to take a vaccine. And that's not a fucking vaccine. And it does alter your DNA, you stupid, dead-headed son of a bitches. Last month, the Pentagon acknowledged that about one-third of U.S. military service members declined to take the revolutionary coronavirus vaccine. And see, the thing, they play with the fucking numbers. One-third my ass. I mean, what would that be? 75% of the fucking families, that would be two-thirds, wouldn't it? Two-thirds of the people refused to take the fucking vaccine. Two-thirds of the military people. So what's it like out here in the real fucking world? I mean, those people are, I mean, they're order followers. I mean, they wanted to become a part of it, but they ain't that goddamn stupid, evidently. And how many do you got now? I mean, they always talk about, you know, you notice there ain't been a lot of fucking that shit on the internet anyway about, you know, this military that's going to get you. I think they're starting to worry more about that fucking military than fucking, than we ever should have. And I mean, I never did think that people were that goddamn stupid to where they turn on their own people. But I mean, damn it. I mean, did you read any of the founding documents? I mean, what kind of education? I know what kind of education you got. You got a fucking communist indoctrination, but you were living free while you did it. I mean, well, you weren't living free. You were living freer than most people around the world until the big crackdown. That began a good 20 fucking years ago. No doubt about it. Another 1.5 million guns sold in February. Wow. And I heard Nancy Pelosi, she's getting ready to pass her legislation to register all guns. I ain't registering my guns, motherfuckers. The answer is no. The answer is fuck you under the second article of my fucking Bill of Rights, the supreme law of this goddamn land, ratified December 15, 1791. Shove it up your fucking ass. What I have ain't none of your goddamn business. But of course they're going to be going, well, we'll read this. Despite bare shelves and back orders up to a year, gun sales continued to soar last month as more people sought personal protection and got ahead of the coming gun control wave from the Biden administration and liberal Congress. You can call it a goddamn gun control wave if you want to. But you can say you're going to do whatever you say you're going to do. You're fixing to walk into a fucking bee's nest, you stupid hornet's nest. You're fixing to stomp right on a fucking hornet's nest. And you need to fucking get it done. We don't make no mistake. We want this over with. We want to go back to fucking living free, enjoying our goddamn lives. Get up in the morning and, the sun's shining. What a beautiful day. What shall I do today? We're sick of you motherfuckers. We want to fucking remove you from this fucking planet, you criminal son of a bitches. You have violated our law. You have violated our privacy. You have violated our morality. You've shit all over our fucking Bill of Rights, which is the supreme law of this land, as we are the supreme authority of this land. Our jurisdiction, there is none higher than the people. We are the grantors of the power you pretend to wield. That which you have seized outside the fucking original fucking Constitution is null and fucking void. Just like you're going to be null and fucking void, so get to fucking doing it. Get to fucking doing it. Quit running your fucking cunt mouth and get to doing it. The FBI said its background check tally for 3,442,777 was the highest February count ever and followed January's 4,314,804 monthly record over the 24-year-old system. Already in just 2 months, there have been nearly as many background checks. This is how it reads. It's not correct. Background checks then for each, and then I guess then there were was what should be say, put there. Then there were for each of the first 7 years of the National Instant Criminal Background Check System. Industry experts who are getting better at translating and adjusting the NICS checks into likely cells said about 1.5 million guns were purchased in February. You ready to come get him? John, one time he broke it down how many you'd have to get a day to even make an effect. You're going to get them all right. You're going to get them right in your fucking face. Boom. While this is, while that is 10% higher than February 2020, considering the drought of weapons, and by God, there is a drought of weapons and every other fucking accessory, weapons and ammunition at stores, it was likely the third highest February sales number following 2013 and 2016. So what do you think? These people are going out and paying. I mean, I'll tell you what, the prices have doubled on everything. Loading supplies, every doubled people. They have fucking doubled and people are still, you can't get, they can't keep the guns and the fucking ammo on the shelves. You can't get the fucking reloading supplies. I mean, it's a goddamn, it's a journey to find anything that you, that related with fucking guns. You think people are buying all this shit to hand it over to you for $200 fucking? Are they buying it to blow your fucking communist asses out of this fucking country? We know how little you are and how few you are. You can puff yourself up like that fucking grouse, but I know I gotta, I gotta shoot real close to the center because there's just a little skinny ass chicken inside that fucking big puff of feathers. And that's all the fuck you are. All right, and this is something I have seen myself, and you know, John, you know, he talks about the super inflation, you know, when it gets completely out of control. And food price inflation accelerates for ninth consecutive month. This is from Zero Hedge. It was sent in by Misty for a discussion. I'm from the trenches, worldreport.com. Now, man, I have seen it. They find different ways to double the price on everything, and $2.90 a gallon for fucking gas here. I did drive by the gas station. $2.90 a fucking gallon. I want to know where that cycle of gas, when the oil was fucking negative $40 a barrel, when did that cycle go through on your goddamn supply and demand fucking system? When did I get the fucking price knocked down that I'm supposed to get when the fucking price goes down? When you jack it up, you say it's because, say it's, well, there's more, the price of oil just went up because of the supply and demand. Well, when the price of oil goes down because of the supply and demand, what does that, it only works when it's going up. It doesn't work when it's coming down. Where's my goddamn gas that you're gonna pay me to put in my fucking tank? You thieving motherfuckers, I'll tell you what, it's all fucking on computer. I mean, we have fucking the records. I mean, you're pretty goddamn stupid, especially at the lower level masons. You lower level masons, I mean, can you run off to Europe? You think they're going to take you? You think you're part of that 550 or less million that are going to be in perpetual balance with nature that's on those Georgia guidestones? Do you think that? Or do you think that you're going to fucking be answering up to the fucking common law courts and the people you've been fucking for at least fucking 50 fucking years? What do you think? It's time to worry about food inflation. Uh-oh. The Food and Agriculture Organization Food Price Index rose for the ninth consecutive month in February. Now remember what John's talked to you about that. When it starts, you know, it starts a little more here, and then you'll see a fucking monster jump like you did in the guns and ammo. Hitting levels not seen since 2014, led by sugar and vegetable oils. You see, they were going to play games like there's shortage of this, shortage of that. The same shit grows every day. The same people fucking harvest it if they're allowed to. It is shipped if it is allowed to. It is processed. If it's not being processed, if anything's fucking getting short, it's because they are deliberately fucking putting a sabo in the fucking cog. And sabotaging the fucking operation, just like in Venezuela. One day, they're fucking, everybody's eating the food, everything's running smooth. The next day, just fucking, there's nothing moving. The food quit growing all of a sudden. I mean, bullshit. This is just the kind of control they have managed to accumulate under their goddamn guise of their fucking socialism. And their god, this is the Zionist Jews. And their fucking money. They see they use that, the currency. They've used currency that George Soros, that motherfucker, has destroyed countries using just the fucking currency. Because that's your means of exchange. But we aren't that fucking stupid. We'll go to some other kind of currency. How about we go back to the original fucking promise that was made to us and we fucking enforce it. That our fucking, we will only have legal tender that is silver and gold. And all that fucking paper, you fucking Chinese fucking thought you lent us? You motherfuckers, you took our goddamn resources. We know the fucking fraud. It's all a fraud, and you ain't getting a fucking penny. Come over here, you fucking die. We'll fertilize this whole goddamn country with your fucking blood. Bring your blue helmet asses over here, and let's get this fucking shit over with. The FAO, Food Price Index, measures the monthly change in international prices of a basket of food commodities such as cereal, oilseed, dairy products, meat, and sugar. FFPI averaged 116 for the month versus 113 in January. FFPI has been on an upward trajectory for the ninth consecutive month. And remember what John said? Maybe he'll mention it in the tactical report, because this is happening just exactly like he told you it would. The unwelcoming food inflation around the world has caught the attention of everyone's favorite prima bear, whatever in the hell that means. Favorite prima bear sock gins, Albert Edwards, who, unlike Goldman, has already sounded the alarm because this may result in social instabilities in certain parts of the world. When you fucking start starving people, they'll get savage. You watch. Man, fuck, there ain't nothing more than just starving somebody, man. What do you got to lose? I'll eat your ass, you motherfucker. Even cannibalism will happen. I mean, it happened people don't realize it. During the Great Depression, there was fucking cannibalism. If you get hungry enough, you'll eat any goddamn thing. Soaring food prices are quickly outpacing incomes. No shit. As you drive the fucking debt, you make the dollar more. Nope, the dollar's getting more worthless. I'm sure John will explain that to you too for the thousandth time. Especially in emerging markets, far less insulated from skyrocketing raw commodity prices that developed countries. I'm sorry. An unprecedented amount of fiscal and monetary policy by governments and respective central banks has flooded the world with liquidity. Edwards makes the point that central banks, start talking about money. Now, the goddamn land won't grow no less today than it did the day before. You see, this is all coming down to the manipulation of these phony fucking currencies. You get up in the morning, you go to work, this guy does this, the other guy does this, the other guy does this, and everything comes out, we get what we need, we grow what we need, but we have to use that fucking goddamn fiat phony fucking currencies of theirs to fucking, as an exchange that we were guaranteed we would have, that the government would provide silver and gold, fucking currency, debt free, so that we could fucking, we could close this fucking country off and live high on the hog while the rest of them just starve to death because they're relying on these goddamn central banks and their enemy for their fucking means of fucking transporting and transferring fucking goods. Plain and simple. Central banks' expansive monetary policies, more importantly, the Federal Reserve has been blamed for the global tidal wave and food inflation back in 2011. Well, who in the fuck else would be blamed? It's not because the shit ain't growing. It ain't because the people ain't going out there and doing their fucking jobs and building shit and producing shit so that they can get their food. It's because of the goddamn banks and the manipulation of the currencies, because they want you fucking dead. They want 99.9% of you fucking dead across the fucking planet. They want to be gods on this fucking earth. And they think they can accomplish it through manipulation of the currency. Go back and look what Baron Rothschild said. He explained the whole goddamn thing and ended the fucking triad with those in the know. Well, they'll just jump on board. And that's what we see in this country. Those in the know, they ain't going to go and say, hey, brother, they're fucking us. Hey, we should all have a lot more. I'll take a chunk and not be fucked with, and let them take your goddamn rights for my chunk and not be fucked with. And when I'm entitled to a hell of a lot more, and you're entitled to as much as I'm entitled to, because it belongs to us. The resources belong to us. We exploit the resources, not the Chinamen. But we're, you know, we're good. This fucking thing, it's coming to your doorstep. That'll be the final fucking I told you so from Henry Shively. It came to your fucking doorstep. And then we'll see what you do. We'll see who fucking has the moxie to stand up and be a fucking free man. Who will put their goddamn, their liberty above their fucking life. And especially above mammon. 2011 and is likely the culprit today. We must also add that supply chain disruptions. Why? Why would there be supply chain disruptions? Oh, it's got to be so because we can't, for some reason, the banks ain't transferring the money. And, you know, this instantaneous, you owe a fucking dollar. Man, bam, that motherfucker's out of your account. And fuck him before you can get the words out of here. Before you, when you hit the button to say transfer, boom, it's gone. But if you got money coming to you from these motherfuckers, oh, Jesus Christ Almighty, they're holding on to it and they're holding on to 10 million other people's and they're gaining interest on it by the fucking minute in their fucking global fucking scam. Also, it's going to take 3 or 4 days to get your money back to you. It took you one fucking second to send it to us. We fucked up and now it's going to take a couple of weeks to send it back to you. But we'll hold on to it and draw the interest off it in the meantime. Oh, fuck, this is so stupid. We don't need these motherfuckers for anything, people. We can't come up with the free enterprise system, and we can't fucking mint our own fucking gold and silver fucking debt-free fucking currency so that we can exploit our own fucking resources that belong to us. Fuck, we all should be living like Saudi princes. I'm not kidding when I say that. If you realize, if the people of this country realize what these fucking pricks are stealing from us, I know you won't do it over my freedom and my liberty or your own, but over that fucking mammon you would come in fucking mobs with fucking guns and you'd kill them. You touch that mammon. Touch God. Supply chain disruptions from the virus pandemic shit is another factor in higher commodity prices. Yeah, whatever. Anyway, we're down at the bottom of the hour. We're going to take our bottom of the hour break. We'll be right back.
Down the road here from me, there's an old holly tree where you lay down a dollar or two. Go on around the bend, come back again, there's a jug full of that good old Mountain Dew.
Oh, they call it that good old Mountain Dew, and them that refuse it are few. I'll hush up my mug if you'll fill up my jug with that good old Mountain Dew.
Thank you for listening to PBFTT.
Patriot Broadcast from the Trenches, 89.5.
Micro FM.
Chiloquin, the state of Jefferson.
Now look here, Joe, quit acting smart. Stop being that old brazen sword. Don't you go sell this country short. No, no, Joe. Just because you think you found a system that we know ain't sound, don't you go throwing your weight around. No, no, Joe. Cause the Kaiser tried it and Hitler tried it, Mussolini tried it too. Now they're all sitting around the fire, and did you know something? They saving a place for you. Now, Joe, you ought to get it clear. You can't push folks around with fear. Cause we don't scare easy over here. No, no, Joe. You do the things you do, you getting folks mad at you. Don't bite off more than you can chew. No, no, Joe. Cause you want a scrap that you can't win. You don't know what you're getting in. Don't go around leading with your chin. No, no, Joe. Now, you got tanks, some fair-sized tanks, but you're acting like a clown. Because, man, we got Yanks and a mess of Yanks, and you might get caught with your tanks down. Don't go throwing out your chest. You'll pop the buttons off your vest. You're playing with a hornet's nest. No, no, Joe. You know, you think you're somebody we should dread just because you're seeing red. You better get that foolishness out of your head. No, no, Joe. Now, you might be itching for a fight. Quit bragging about how your bear can bite, because you're sitting on a keg of dynamite. No, no, Joe.
You're listening to The Word from the Trenches on Patriot Broadcast from the Trenches 89.5, Micro FM, Chiloquin, the state of Jefferson. The Word from the Trenches is a listener-sponsored broadcast. If you'd like to help keep this program on the air, go to FromTheTrenchesWorldReport.com and hit that donate button. Or you can mail donations to Henry Shively at Post Office Box 964, Chiloquin, Oregon 97624. Your contributions are needed and appreciated. I'm your host, The Word from the Trenches is hosted by myself, Henry Shively, and by my brother, John D., United States Marine fighting tyranny. And it's time for the tactical report because, you know, we done said no to Joe. You know, I play that old Hank Williams song, you know, because, I mean, he was talking about Joe Stalin, you know, and the communism. And that's fucking, we're exactly where we're at. And the answer's no, Joe. And we ain't a bunch of fucking Russians with that unarmed Russians. We're the largest fucking army to ever exist on this fucking planet. And you are sitting on a keg of dynamite. I can't even talk to Joe because Joe's dead in the head. I don't think he understands half of what's coming at him and nothing that's coming out of his fucking mouth. At any rate, it is time for the tactical report. So I'm going to hush up here and I'm going to turn the mic over to John and give him hell, John. It's Friday.
Yes, it is, Henry. You know, when you were doing your thing and you mentioned the inflation, and you said, well, maybe J.D. will explain it again. So I went and I said, you know I had a couple of pieces of paper on that I wanted to refer to real quick. And then you said something else. Well, maybe you can explain that, too. And I didn't quite catch what that was. What was the second item you said I might explain?
Man, let me look. So I was buzzing over that, and I just went through a break here. The central banks, soaring food prices are quickly outpacing incomes. That's what it was, especially in emerging markets, far less insulated from the skyrocketing raw commodity prices than developed countries, as unprecedented amounts of fiscal and monetary policy by governments and respective central banks has flooded the world with liquidity. Make sense?
Yeah. And again, that's probably about as truthful as the COVID virus is, you know, because there is no liquidity. They're not flooding the world with market. It's all fraud. It's all con. It's all currency, which is really nothing more than a complete lie. But I'm going to explain a little bit of that.
Okay, I'm going to back out.
All right, thank you, Henry. All right, I am John D., U.S. Marine Fighting Tyranny. This is the Tactical Report. It is frickin' Friday, because, man, I'm looking forward to the weekend, even though we got some cold weather here coming, and I still got a little bit of firewood left. You know, I did cut it myself, and I'm surprised they didn't send the black U.S. SUVs in the middle of the night to come and arrest me. How dare I cut down a tree without their permission and giving them some of it? You know, no matter what, it's a skimming operation. Remember, our whole financial and economic system, our whole monetary system, it's all one big skimming operation. They're designed to take a piece of the action no matter what you are doing. When you earn money, they get a piece of it. When you spend money, they get a piece of it. When you save it, they get a piece of it. And when you go and try and use it for something like investment, they get a piece of it. It's a skimming operation. That's the whole thing, people, because it's a fraud. It's a con. And they try and keep it at a skimming levels because if they get a little too aggressive, well, you might notice that. Well, we did notice it. because they have gotten aggressive, way too aggressive. Stealing any measure of wealth from us is aggressive enough. But they're at the point now, they're just blatantly just stealing, just stealing. I mean, literally, knocking people's doors down, coming in, stealing everything they own, and in some cases, well, fuck it, take the car and the property, too. That's not a fraud. I don't know what is going on. I was talking about, let's get back to my opening here. It is 1544 Eastern Daylight Time. That's 344 to all you civilians. And to all the retards who still think somehow, some way, the courts are going to straighten this out. Mike Lendell, that's it. Yeah. He's going to court, and he's got evidence. Well, it's probably about the same kind of evidence that maybe Trump's legal team, you know, when he was actually supposedly the legal sitting president of the United States and he couldn't get in the courts. Then you had his attorney, the world famous Rudy Giuliani. He had a shitload of evidence and, well, he couldn't get in the courts. And then you had the attorneys who were running parallel legal actions, Sidney Powell and Lynn Wood. They couldn't get in there, but you know, pillow guy. He's going to get in there. Sure he is. Of course. And for all you imbeciles who think that, Mickey's little hand is pointing down and his big hand's pointing at the nine. All right, let's get moving here. Let's do a quick fly over the fraud, the con, called the financial markets. And right now over in the New York spot market for precious metals, we've got gold at 1,698. Again, there's been a lot of fluctuation. If you look at the 24-hour chart, and I mean, it looks like a pretty raggedy hacksaw blade edge. So the price keeps wanting to go up, and they keep stepping in there and pushing the paper gold in to push it down because they want to maintain the illusion that this garbage, this con, this fraud, this skimming operation that they call currency, they call it money, but it's not. They call it currency sometimes, but it's not. It's a fraud. It's a con. But they want to give the illusion that it has value. And the way they do that is to try and keep the price of real money, gold and silver, suppressed. Because remember, gold and silver are the measuring sticks, not the other way around. It's not that gold is measured in dollars. It's not that silver is measured in dollars. It's that dollars are measured in gold. Dollars are measured in silver. And people tend to forget about that because I don't think any of us in our lifetimes have ever actually used real money. We've all grown up using this garbage called Federal Reserve notes, which is not real money. It's a fraud. It's a con. It's a skimming operation. It's a mechanism by which they can take wealth from you without you even knowing it. Remember, what's the way that a mugger will get wealth from you? Well, you'll be going for a walk, and as you're walking by that bush, he jumps out with a gun or a knife or just a broken piece of glass, points it at your throat, and says, "Give me everything in your pocket." And, well, maybe you don't feel like fighting, so you give him whatever paper asset you have in your pocket, that stuff you call money or currency. You give him the $20, $25, whatever you got, and he runs off, and you know you've just been robbed. But you see, when the government does it, when the Federal Reserve does it, when the tax system does it, you don't even think you've been robbed. Well, I'm just paying my fair share of the taxes. Now, of course, as smart people, we know taxes are nothing more than legalized theft, but there's hidden taxes, stealth taxes, and one of the most nefarious is inflation. And I'm going to get back to that in a moment. Let's keep moving here with the fly over the financial markets. Right now, gold is at 1,698. And again, if you're of the mindset that you want to convert a little bit of this garbage called currency into something that will retain purchasing power when this currency hyperinflates, this isn't bad. Now, I don't know how much they'll push the price down to, but I don't see them getting below 1,600, even in their fraudulent system. So gold, as I'm suspecting, is kind of near the bottom. It may not be the bottom at $1,698, or let's just say $1,700. It may go down another $100, maybe even another $200. I kind of doubt that, but it might. But we don't know where the actual bottom is, but we do know it's near the bottom. And the upside potential, well, that's pretty much unlimited, as I'll demonstrate in just a minute. Same thing here with gold, right now, silver. Right now, over in the precious metal spot market, we've got silver down 19 cents at $25.13. And that's not a terrible price. And I've read several articles, in fact, a whole bunch of articles, talking about how silver is probably one of the most undervalued assets in probably the last 200 or 300 years. And I agree with that. So if you're looking for something to put money in, and they call silver sometimes, they call it the poor man's gold. Because One ounce of gold will cost you almost $1,700, but 1 ounce of silver, well, shit, that's only $25. But again, that's not your delivered price. Your delivered price has about a 30% premium on that, so by the time you get it in your hand, it's going to cost you about $32, $33. But still, $33 for 1 ounce of silver versus $1,700 for 1 ounce of gold. And I think the silver has the far greater upside potential. So not only are you going to make a secure investment in an insurance policy, but it actually has a chance to actually earn a little bit more dividend in the returns it will get you at some point in the future. But that's not your objective. Your objective is just to keep your purchasing power, because that's going to get wiped out when this stuff called currency hyperinflates. Going down into the major fraud indicators, we've got the Dow Jones Industrial Average currently up over 500 points at 31,500. U.S. dollar index is over 91%. And crude oil, look at this, up another $2.30 at $66.13 a barrel. Now, interesting how this is reflecting the price announcement that J.P. Morgan made just a few days ago and then reiterated today, which I'll get to. I have that in another article. But they're targeting oil, I forget what it was, $70 or $80. So naturally, oil starts claiming there. Remember, when J.P. Morgan makes these, quote, predictions, what they're really doing is they're telling these commodities people, here's what you're going to be putting the money at. Because if they did it in private, that's called collusion. And if they got caught doing that, well, that might be jail time. But when they do it in the open public, J.P. Morgan just makes an announcement through the Wall Street Journal, through the New York Post. Oh, we expect oil is going to go to $70 a barrel. And then within a week or two, oil mysteriously goes to $70 a barrel. Well, there's no collusion there. Now, is there? But in reality, that was J.P. Morgan telling these people what they're going to be posting their prices at. Going on, let's take a quick look at over at that gambling device called cryptocurrencies. Currently, we have Bitcoin up $750 at $49,139 a coin. Ethereum is down $8.50 at $1,530. And Litecoin is up almost a buck at $181. Yes, I was about to say $1,000. $181. I remember, it wasn't even that long ago. What was I telling you Bitcoin was at? It was like $6 or $7 a coin. Now remember, even Peter Schiff just came out, it was about a week ago. He did an interview and he posted an article, and his description of cryptocurrencies is, it's a complete waste of energy. Meaning, he knows there is nothing of value you're investing there. When you put money in cryptocurrencies, what you're really doing, you're gambling. I mean, your odds may be a little bit better than a slot machine, but not much better. Going on. Here we go. This was the article I was looking for over in Zero Hedge. Oil soars above $69 after Goldman hikes price target to $80. There we go. So this is Goldman Sachs, and J.P. Morgan does the same thing because I said J.P. Morgan. But Goldman Sachs does the same thing because they work together. They work in tandem. They work in collusion. So when Goldman Sachs says oil is expected to go to $80 a barrel, how much you want to bet we're going to see oil up at around $80 a barrel within the next few weeks?
John.
Maybe it takes a month. Yeah.
Yeah. I wonder if there are any reports on, have we lowered our exports out of this country? Are we still exporting, number one exporter of fucking our crude oil out of this country at the same time that our people are paying fucking $3 a gallon for gas at the goddamn pumps? Have we shut that down so that and said, you know, if we shut that down and said you can only sell it in the United States of America, man, the price of gas would dive. It would have to, because, I mean, the only place it can be refined here is here, and the only place it can be sold is here. I mean, in a crisis like this, shouldn't you be doing that?
Well, obviously. Now, exactly, has there been any slowdown in the export of our resources? I haven't seen any articles, and I haven't looked it up lately, but I would, just intuitively, especially with the communists in full control, if anything, I would say they've accelerated it.
I would say I'd have to agree with that. They have accelerated it.
The communists aren't about protecting this country. The communists are here for the final looting of this country before they crash us as a society so they can institute full-blown communism.
Well, it's like you referred to that first article. I was talking about 3 months in a row of inflation, the rise in prices of food, and the rise in the price of every goddamn thing. It ain't just food, people. It's everything you go to buy, and if you know it. Unless you're a fucking billionaire who doesn't even look, you just sign the check at the end of the month for what your fucking lackeys have purchased for you. You don't notice it, but when you're living on the fucking edge, you fucking see it. And it has. It's happened 3 months in a row, and I think that's what I was talking about. Because you had said that, it would start this, like it did in Weimar, Germany. A little bit here, a little bit there, and a little bit, and then boom, a huge jump and quadrupling in fucking price in one fucking month.
I agree. Now, over here, they're talking about, let's see. This says, and I just want to continue a little bit because I want people to realize what's coming your way. And that's just going to be, everything's about to be more expensive. And it's not any of that stuff got more expensive, whether it's a loaf of bread, a gallon of gas, a car tire. It's not that it got more expensive. It's that your money became worth less. So it takes more of that more debased money, that more worthless money or less worthy money to buy the same item. That's the way hyperinflation works. And right over here, they're predicting in this same article, in fact, Goldman is predicting $100 a barrel. Remember what I told you. These are some of your indicators that we're going into that leading edge of mega inflation, which eventually will trip us right into hyperinflation. And I use that term on my own, mega inflation, because I think there is a kind of a middle stop point there, and it's not that it actually stops, but there's a middle ground between inflation and hyperinflation. Hyperinflation is when your currency's lost all value, basically. But somewhere between your currency starting to lose value and completely losing value, we should have a term for that, so I just call it mega inflation. Anyway, I just wanted to mention that because you got to realize what's coming. And let's see. Now, I'm going to get back to inflation. I just wanted to read over this one more time because, again, this is interesting. Over in Zero Hedge, repo rec, and they're talking about repurchase agreements. Now, repurchases is where it's basically a financial transaction that most people never know what's going on, most people never engage in. It's something that is typically done between lending institutions, in particular banks. Mostly banks, but not exclusively banks, large financial houses. And that's where they lend and buy U.S. securities from each other. They sell it, and then they'll buy them back or repurchase them. And that's why it's called the repo market. And usually it's done in overnight transactions. Sometimes they'll do it on a two-day basis, sometimes a week basis. But a lot of times it's done in the overnight action, as they call it. And something historic just happened that never ever happened before, which is, again, another indication that your financial system is in that region of instability going towards catastrophic failure. And that is, over in this headline, repo wreck. 10-year, and they're talking about the 10-year U.S. Treasury bond, 10-year tumbles below fails charge, trades at minus 3.1% again. In fact, it had reached a level of minus 4.25%. Never, ever happened before. And what this means is that lenders of cash to Treasury shorts have to pay them instead of pocketing a lending fee. In other words, they come to me, a bank comes to me, yeah, we're short $1 billion. Can you lend us $1 billion so we can square our books for the night? I lend them $1 billion, and normally the next day I would get my $1 billion back plus a little bit of a fee for that because I lent them $1 billion. With this negative repo rate, it means I lend them $1 billion, and guess what? I got to pay them to lend them the money. And you would say, wait a minute, that's upside down. You're right. That's exactly right. That's a symptom that your financial system is in a region of instability. It is destabilizing, tending towards catastrophic failure. What's that catastrophic failure going to look like? Hyperinflation. This is how it happens. So we're seeing the signs of it. We're still somewhat in the early stages of true hyperinflation, But we are there. Our feet are wet. The waters of hyperinflation are now covering your toes and your feet. Kind of like when you walk along the edge of the beach and you're on dry sand. So you walk a little bit closer to the water and the water brushes over your feet. Then you kind of get used to the cold water. So you walk into it a little deeper. You're still walking parallel with the shoreline, but now you're walking in your feet deep, your ankle deep in the water. It feels kind of good, right? Well, that's where we are in the hyperinflation cycle. Right now we're in the leading edge. It's just covering your feet. But it starts to escalate dramatically from here. Going on. Now that I mentioned that, I want to go, let's take a well-documented case of what hyperinflation looks like. And, of course, I'm talking about Weimar Germany, January of 1919. Now, over there, they use German marks. And this is indexed. It was priced in how many German marks did it take to buy 1 ounce of gold in January of 1919? Well, in January of 1919, if you wanted to buy 1 ounce of gold, if you were there in Germany, you were a German citizen, a working guy, working gal, but mostly it was the men in the family that were working, right? This is early turn of the century stuff. If you wanted to go buy 1 ounce of gold to secure some of your future, you had to pay 170 German marks. They used to call them paper marks, too. By September of that same year, so you're talking only 9 months, and you're only here on the leading edge of inflation, That 1 ounce of gold now cost you 500 German marks. And it's not that the price of gold went up. It's the value of their mark went down. Now let's take a look when they're just another 4 months later. It's January 1920. Now you want to go buy another ounce of gold. How many German marks does it cost you? Over 1,300 German marks. Now let's jump to September of 1920. And remember, January of 1919, 170 marks to buy 1 ounce of gold. A year later, by September of 1920, 1,200 marks to buy 1 ounce of gold. Oh, wait, I'm sorry. That was September. January 1920, 1,300 German marks. Now let's jump forward to January of 1921. Now, this is only 2 years, and the inflation barely moved there. Now it was at 1,349 German marks. So it was only 49 marks higher in that whole year. Well, that doesn't sound terrible, right? Now let's go another year, January of 1922. Now it's 3,976 German marks. That's a pretty big jump. Now let's go forward one more year. Now, you're only talking 4 years here. So in January 1919, cost you 170 marks for 1 ounce of gold. By January of 1923, a mere 4 years later, it cost 372,000 German marks to buy 1 ounce of gold. And you wouldn't make that much more. Your pay didn't go up by that much. It's the value of the dollar. Their German mark went down by that much. That is hyperinflation. Now let's see when it's, now the hyperinflation starts kicking in. Now, by this time, by January of 1923, people saw the prices of everything rising. People realized prices were starting to rise at a crazy rate. But by this point, people had already lost 90 to 95% of their wealth, and they didn't understand that yet. Now let's roll forward just another 9 months, September of 1923. Now you want to go buy another ounce of gold. Now let's see the real effect of hyperinflation. Remember, January of 1919, 170 German marks for 1 ounce of gold. By September of 1923, barely 4 years, a little over 4 years, it now cost 269 million German marks for that 1 ounce of gold. A month later, 6.6 million German marks for 1 ounce of gold. A week later, 25 million for 1 ounce of gold. By October of that same year, you're talking barely a month, it was now $1.1 billion to buy 1 ounce of gold. By November, now you're only talking another month, $87 billion to buy 1 ounce of gold. And it's not because the gold became more expensive. It's because the currency had become completely, horrifically, and unavoidably debased. That is what giant. Now, when you look at this scale, most of the actual hyperinflation, the real head cutting action of hyperinflation occurred only within the last year. The initial 3 years, you felt it coming on, just like we're feeling it right now, but it was in that final year. But by time people realized in that final year that they were in a hyperinflationary process, they had already lost 98% of their wealth. They had no money left to convert it into something that would hold wealth like gold when they could have bought it at 170 marks an ounce. Imagine that if they had bought 1 ounce of gold in January of 1919 for 170 German marks, by November 30th of 1923, they could have sold it for 87 billion marks, if anyone had it. All right, so I just wanted to cover that, because that's the way hyperinflation works. It's gradual, 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 and then it's almost like a stick of dynamite going off in your face. Let's go on. All right, now, we had talked about my friend Glenn Fratello. Remember when I was growing up and he set my neighbor's trash on fire, my neighbor's yelling at him, and Glenn looking at him through the leaping flames of his burning garbage that he just set on fire. Mitch is yelling at him, Glenn, what the fuck are you doing setting my garbage on fire? And Glenn looks at him through the flames, but can barely see him, and says, what fire, Mitch? What are you talking about? I just never forget that. My God, I was laughing so hard. Anyway, talking about the election fraud. What election fraud? What would they call it? I think they were calling it election fraud. What election fraud? Well, it looks like they're admitting to a tiny bit of it here, but not anything due to the presidential election, of course, over in the Gateway Pundit. Insurrection. Democrats are now trying to steal Iowa Republicans' House seat. Well, I'm surprised they allowed this headline. Let's see what this says here. It says, Miller Meeks' statement concerning completion of recount. It says, with the Clinton County, you can imagine Clinton County, and there's going to be no corruption there. What are you kidding me? And this is over in Iowa. With the Clinton County recount finished this afternoon, all 24 counties have counted, recounted, and in some cases, recounted again the results of Iowa's 2nd Congressional District. I would be remiss if I didn't take a moment to thank county auditors, their staff, and the volunteers who worked so hard these past few weeks to conduct the recount. They personify the words public servant and engage citizenship. With the race is extraordinary. Let's see. Oh, it's cut off here, so I can't read it. It's on a tweet. I wanted to read the rest of it. Sorry, I can't read the rest of it. I thought I could read the rest of the tweet here. It doesn't scroll anyway. Obviously, they're busy trying to use the same method and tactics to steal the presidential, congressional house, and Senate house of the federal government. They are now trying to do that at the state level. Which is no surprise. I just wanted to read here. Yep, it won't scroll. I was trying to get it to scroll. Won't scroll. Sorry about that. Anyway, you got the idea. It doesn't stop people. It doesn't stop until we make it stop. Now, an interesting development here over in the Liberty Beacon in China. It says China declares homosexuality a mental illness. Now, remember, homosexuality used to be listed as a mental illness here in the United States in the DSM, the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Mental Disorders, all the way up until when they take it out. I think it was like 1984 or something like that, maybe even been a little later. But up to that point, homosexuality was declared a mental illness. But suddenly, somehow, it's not an illness anymore. But let's see what this says. It says, dissidents have been warning us for years about the nature of China's communist totalitarian regime, but unlike a lot of them, the dictatorship also has money and markets. In the West, that means Quisling defenders. Now, Quisling, of course, goes back to World War II. Quisling defenders, many with a snout in the trough. A Chinese court upheld a ruling that a textbook description of homosexuality as a psychological disorder was not a factual error, but merely an academic view. The Chinese LGBT community and the 24-year-old woman who filed the lawsuit have expressed disappointment at the decision handed down last week by the Sequian Intermediate People's Court in the eastern province of Jiangsu. So it appears that they held up this definition of homosexuality as being a mental disorder, which is surprising because that's usually one of the tenets, one of the key planks in the communist system, is the open acceptance of homosexuality. In fact, you can't be a member of the ruling party unless you're pretty much a queer. So I'm really surprised they did that, but I did want to mention that. Going on, let's get back to something that is happening that's real over in Natural News. Fertility warning. 34 cases of spontaneous miscarriage and stillbirth reported after experimental mRNA vaccines. Now remember, this mirrors the Zika virus. Remember that? I just covered that yesterday in the John Rappaport site. He had an article on that. Let me see. Yep. And what's interesting, I was going to reference it again today, that very article. I still had it up there on one of my windows, and the article was, Zika was a warm-up. Oh, here we go. Now it did just load. Zika was a warm-up for COVID. It didn't fly. Now, remember, what was Zika? Zika outbreak occurred in 2016, and that was down in Brazil. Well, the only problem was almost exclusively the people who displayed symptoms of Zika were pregnant women. Now, what was unusual about the pregnant women? It wasn't that they had the so-called Zika, which was never found or isolated, just like COVID-19, but they had all gotten a mandated vaccine in their first trimester of pregnancy. They all had the same vaccine, and all those women started having children that either they spontaneously aborted it, meaning they lost the baby, or the women that did go to full term or near full term, even if they had a preemie and had the babies were highly deformed, meaning the babies were either born with a very small brain, no brain, or extremely deformed heads, and sometimes the limbs too. Because that's what the vaccine was doing to them. But they didn't say it was the vaccine. No. It was a new virus called Zika. Now we've got the very same thing here with this one, where all these women are now reporting spontaneous cases of miscarriage and stillbirth. Because that's what these vaccines, which are not vaccines, that's what they're designed to do. They're biological and chemical warfare agents being injected directly into you. Going on. Now, let's talk about something that's real. How, remember, COVID-19 is a political crisis, not a medical one. And here's one of the symptoms of that over in RT, Russia Today. France calls up 4,400 officers to enforce a 6 p.m. curfew in Paris amid rising COVID-19 infections and compliance concerns, you know, because they're not being good little slaves and staying in their little pigsties like they're being told. So as the French authorities have vowed to increase their presence on the streets this weekend as France struggles to enforce a 6 p.m. to 6 a.m. curfew amid soaring COVID-19 infections across the country and in the capital. If the police find groups of people in which respect for social distancing cannot be guaranteed, in particular on the banks of the Seine, and in public parks and gardens, they are instructed to proceed with their evacuation. The Paris Police Department confirmed on Friday, and it had announced the mobilization of 4,400 officers this weekend. Now, that's sounding an awful, awful lot like a military coup going on in France too, doesn't it? You're damn right it is, because that's what COVID-19. It's a part of Operation Global Enslavement, being conducted through fraud, deception, a fake pandemic, and a military coup in country after country after country. It didn't just happen here, people. It's happening everywhere. Now, let's see what they're doing under the guise of COVID restrictions. Also over in Natural News. COVID torture. Canadian medical groups want to imprison young children who might have been exposed to coronavirus. So, they're not even going to bother trying to give you that bogus PCR test. No, that cost a few bucks. No, we just suspect you might have been exposed to coronavirus, and they're going to lock these kids up. Let's see what this says. In the event that a child is sent home from school because a classmate tests positive for the Wuhan coronavirus, now they're calling it the Wuhan coronavirus, a.k.a. COVID-19, Peel Health of Canada wants that child to be isolated in solitary confinement, away from friends and even family members, for a full 2 weeks. Now, the article goes on talking about this. Now, if you think they ain't doing the same thing here, you are out of your fucking mind. Because remember, I read an article, and this is going back, this is about 7 or 8 months ago, where the CDC had published a memorandum that people should expect for their children to be held at schools for surprise overnight sleepovers. Meaning, if they had a confirmed case of COVID-19 or suspicion of COVID-19, they weren't going to let any of the kids go. They were going to keep them right there in the school. You weren't going to be allowed to get them. They weren't going to be allowed to leave. And they were calling it a surprise sleepover. Remember, I covered that about 8 months ago. Well, here it is, people. This is an extension of that. Because after the surprise sleepover, well, they can't keep doing that at the school. So what are they going to do? That's right. They're going to come pick them up and put them in isolation facilities, just like they want to do to all of us. Why? Because it's easier to kill people when they're isolated from their family. Going on. Now, let's talk about that scumbag, Fauci, or as we call him, Dr. Scumbag, over in Sputnik News. Fauci warns of fourth spike in COVID-19 infections with new variants resistant to vaccines. Here we go, people. This is the son of COVID, the cousin of COVID, the ex-wife of COVID, the cousin twice removed from COVID virus strain. You're never going to be able to win. It's always going to be resisting. It's only going to be creating new mutations. The last vaccine we gave, it was just two steps behind, so the one we gave you is no good. You got to get the latest and greatest vaccine, you know, the one that kills babies, unborn babies, killing people, the old people in the hospitals, you know, the one that stops your immune system from working properly. Yes, you're going to have to keep getting new injections of the newest, latest, and greatest of these untested biological and chemical warfare agents. Because this is in fulfillment of their article of faith, number one, as etched in stone for them, on something called the Georgia Guidestones, to keep humanity under 500 million people in perpetual balance with nature. Well, to go from 7.4 billion down to under 500 million, you got to exterminate about 96% of the Earth's population. What's the best way for that? Oh, I know. How about a scandemic? And we get everyone to take an injection and we'll tell them it's a vaccine. Yeah, that'll do it. And then within a year or 2 years, in fact, some of these people, was within an hour or 2 hours, they were dead. But the bulk of these people are going to be dying a year to 2 years later, long after, hopefully for them, almost everyone's gotten the vaccine. Because by that point, when they start hearing the news about all the people dying, well, that's not the vaccine. They got their vaccine over a year earlier. It's got to be something else. It's got to be the new strain, the new mutation of COVID-19. Because you didn't get the latest, greatest, and scariest updated vaccine for COVID-19, the son of COVID-19. This is the scam, people. Going on. Now, this is interesting because Henry mentioned it also. Over in Shit Hit the Fan Plan, COVID-19 mRNA shots are legally not vaccines. Now, I think you've heard me and Henry mention that at least once or twice. Now, let's read this, just a little bit of this. Did you know that mRNA COVID-19 vaccines aren't vaccines in the medical or legal definition of a vaccine? They do not prevent you from getting the infection. They do not prevent its spread. They are really experimental gene therapies. And this is where I disagree with this article. No, they're not. They meet the definition of a 3D military system. Degrade, disrupt, destroy. It degrades your immune system, it disrupts your DNA, and it destroys your capacity to stay alive. It destroys your ability to live. That's a 3D system. Remember, all 3D military systems are designed to either disrupt and or degrade and or destroy. That's why military systems are created, is to do that, to engage the enemy, to disrupt them, degrade their capacity, or destroy them. That's it. That's why you develop military systems. That's what military weapon systems are for. This is not a vaccine, it's not gene therapy. It is a military weapons platform, a military weapons system. It is a chemical and biological warfare agent being injected directly into you whose sole efficacy, remember, efficacy means a particular outcome. It produces a desired particular outcome. Good or bad doesn't matter. Does it achieve its objective? Yes, it does. It kills people. That's what it's designed to do. That is its efficacy. It is designed to kill you. So when you die, you've done exactly what it was designed to do to you. And one last article here over in Nuke Pro, and I covered this, but I'm going to cover it again so you can go on over there and read it if you want. mRNA vaccine shown to inactivate tumor-suppressing proteins. Wait months after all virus season is almost over anyway. I'm not sure what that's supposed to mean, other than you wait some months and you'll find out when you get these tumors or you come up dead. Now let's just read the first paragraph here. It says, medical shocker, and I've read this before, but I'm going to read it just a little bit one more time. Scientists at Sloan Kettering discover mRNA inactivates tumor-suppressing proteins, meaning it will promote cancer. Previously unknown cancer, no, they knew about this. This is bullshit right here. Previously unknown cancer-driving messengers are hiding in RNA, not DNA. After your COVID vaccination, RNA is transported out of your cell's nucleus and will no longer function properly as a cancer tumor suppressor. Substantial amounts of people with blood cancer have the same inactivation of tumor suppressing genes at the mRNA level. In other words, if this doesn't kill you immediately by the neural agents in it, it will by getting your body to attack itself through its immune system, or allowing any kind of hostile organism or any type of errant cell development, which we call tumors, to go wildly out of control. And that will kill you. So this so-called injection can kill you at least one of three ways, if not more. Because it's not a vaccine. It is a biological and chemical warfare agent. It is designed to kill you. So when it kills people who get the injection, don't be surprised. However, you should be surprised if they get the injection and it doesn't kill them. That would be surprising. Anyway, that's it for me. So unless there's any questions or comments, I'm going to hand this back to my friend, my mentor, and my RNA buddy, Henry Shively. Going once, going twice. On you, Henry.
My RNA is special. I mean, it's...
well, all our RNA is special. It's all unique to each one of us.
Well, it's supposed to be, but we need to be more alike. We need to be come together as one. We need to be a commune.
That's right.
Anyways, man, it's been a hell of a week, guys. I mean, look what they've done in just one fucking week, and they're going to keep it up this weekend. And next week it's going to get worse, and the week after that it's going to get worse. So
Henry, I'm still expecting. I want to mention one more time. I'm still expecting them to stage a mass false flag shooting event because they want those guns, Henry. Oh, they want those guns so bad they can taste it. And they haven't mentioned it lately, and that tells me they're busy planning this out. They haven't forgotten about it, but they want those guns. So I'm still calling for a mass false flag shooting event, a mass shooting event within the next 2 to 4 months. Could be a little earlier, could be a little later, but I still say it's coming.
I say sooner than later because Nancy Pelosi today introduced national gun registration.
Oh, wow, Henry! Now they need something to back that push, don't they?
Oh, yeah, exactly, man. But you know, like I said, we know what's going to. Tomorrow's going to be worse than today. The day after that's going to be worse and worse and worse. We're headed down a fucking path, the wrong fucking path, and it's a steep hill, and we're running down it. At any rate, we're going to do it in, the last thing we're going to do here, we will be back Monday at 12 Pacific, 3 Eastern for another broadcast, The Word from the Trenches on PBFTT, but before we go, we're going to identify the head of that fucking snake again. These are the fucking assholes that are fucking financing this and giving the fucking orders, that are fucking ruining your fucking life, that are making you feel miserable. These are the motherfuckers, and it's just a handful. These are the motherfuckers that are the head of the snake. Microsoft, Bill Gates, in Seattle, Washington. Google, Sundar Pichai. Pache, Silicon Valley, Mountain View, California. Facebook, Mark Zuckerberg, Silicon Valley, Menlo Park, California. Twitter, Jack Dorsey, San Francisco, California. Amazon, Jeff Bezos, Seattle, Washington again. And here we got George Soros lives in Katatna, New York. Michael Bloomberg, well, he owns homes in New York, several properties in London, Florida, Colorado, and Bermuda, where locals have referred to him as a part-time resident because he's the traveling fucking gun grabber. He's coming to other people's states where he isn't even a fucking citizen, let alone a fucking national, and he fucking financing to the payoffs to the fucking Well, to the fucking lackeys, to the traders that are posing as a fucking government that are actually private contractors who are here to fucking for the purpose of making an attempt at our guns. Make your fucking attempt. Get to fucking doing it. But don't forget who the head of the snake is, people. Because when you want to get rid of this, you want to fucking start at the bottom of the snake and chop up, or you want to chop the fucking head off and be done with it. I mean, you want to fucking let these cocksuckers know that you're not going to let them fucking violate your law. You're going to let these criminals know that they are not going to go unpunished just because they've taken and made their own fucking private courts, their own star chamber courts that answer to them, not to the people, that they are going to face our law, ratified December 15, 1791, the absolute highest authority in this land, the people's jurisdiction. Well, that head of that snake is where the fucking problem is, people. That is the word from the trenches.
Have a good weekend, Henry.
Thank you, brother.
I have done all I can do.
Cookies!